أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
Reciting the Tashahud, Tawuz and Surah Al-Fatiha. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, Ayyadahullahu Ta'ala bin Nasrihi al-Aziz stated, tomorrow, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community in the UK will be holding an event on the centenary of the Fazl Mosque, in which non-Ahmadi guests and local neighbours have been invited as well. The Fazl Mosque holds a historical significance in that it is the first mosque of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community which was built in the stronghold of Christianity. And from here, the true teachings of Islam started being preached to people on a wide scale. Today, our opponents claim that the Ahmadiyya Muslim community was planted by the British. However, it is surprising that through this so-called plant, planted by them, the flaws of the religion of these very people living in the West are brought to light in their countries, and at the same time, the beauty of the teachings of Islam is being preached. Furthermore, those who level these allegations against us are not able to render such efforts to propagate the teachings of Islam in this manner. It is true that prior to the construction of the Fazl Mosque, a mosque was built in Woking by the renowned Orientalist G.W. Leitner. He retired as the principal of Oriental College in Lahore and returned to England and built a mosque in Woking in 1889. It is an astonishing coincidence that this is the same year that the Ahmadiyya Muslim community was established and when the founder of the community, Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, founded the community. And along with this, this renowned professor also established an institution for Oriental studies, so that Muslims could acquire religious knowledge as well as worship. An enormous sum was given for the construction of this mosque by the ruler of Bhopal, Shah Jahan Begum, and it was named after her. Nevertheless, this professor passed away in 1899. And this mosque was locked as there was no one to take care of it any longer. Then, during the Khilafat of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib came here to the UK. And he tried to reopen it and was successful. He then wrote to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that a trust was formed for this mosque and that he was made in charge of it. Thereafter, worship commenced again in this mosque. And when this mosque was reopened, Chaudhry Zafrullah Khan Sahib accompanied Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib to this mosque as well. And there he offered voluntary prayers and supplicated profusely. A short while later, Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu ta'ala made an appeal for missionaries to be sent there. However, sufficient funds could not be collected for this. But in any case, they somehow managed, and Chaudhry Fateh Muhammad Sial Sahib was sent here, who worked alongside with Khwaja Sahib for some time. But following the demise of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Khwaja Sahib did not pledge initiation, nor he did the bayat at the hands of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And as a result of this, Chaudhry Fateh Muhammad Sial Sahib left him and went to another place. In any case, this was the mosque in Woking. However, the first official mosque that was built by any Muslim community or by the Ahmadiyya Muslim community is the Fazl Mosque. And there are certainly many mosques built by the Muslims in London as well as other Western countries. But it is the Fazl Mosque that holds the honor of being the first mosque built in London. However, even the mosques here are not actually conveying the true beautiful teachings of Islam to the world or to the Western countries. They do not convey the teachings that bring love, peace and harmony to all in the way that is being spread forth from the mosques of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. Furthermore, other mosques in the Western world rely on financial assistance from world governments. And in some cases, Islamic governments have also helped to some degree in financing the construction and upkeep of these mosques. However, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, it is the beauty of the mosques built by the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. And in fact, those mosques that have been built with the government assistance even now receive ongoing financial assistance through various state sponsorship programs here in England. However, it is the grace of Allah the Almighty that the Ahmadiyya Muslim community does not rely on any such funding. It is the excellence of the community that its mosques are built using the donations and sacrifices of its members. And in fact, now even in London alone, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, owing to the financial sacrifice of Ahmadi Muslims, dozens of new mosques have been built. And in other Western countries as well, many mosques have been built. In any case, today I would like to say something in reference to the Fazl Mosque. However, the importance of mentioning this, or the importance of this commemorative event we are organizing for its centenary, will be of benefit only when we fulfill the true purpose of mosques as they deserve to be fulfilled, and by doing true justice in bringing about a change in ourselves, and to improve our connection with Allah the Almighty, and to attach our future generations with the mosques. We must fulfill the rights laid out by Islam, and hence every Ahmadi Muslim should bear in mind that we shouldn't just become content with organizing a function or by putting up lights. Instead, we should fulfill the rights of this mosque, learn about its history and focus upon it, and then assess our own conditions. In this regard, the first thing that I'd like to say is that the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has said a great deal about the spread of Islam in the West. And this is the very foundation of our tabligh efforts. On one occasion, while speaking about a vision of his regarding the spread of Islam in the West, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam writes, "While we do believe in the sun that is to rise from the west, however, what was given to understand to this humble one in a dream is that the meaning of the sun rising from the west is that those Western countries which have been for a long time in a state of disbelief and misguidance will eventually be illuminated by the sun of truth and they shall partake of Islam." The promised Messiah alayhi salam said this with great conviction. Therefore, we should always have hope that Islam will indeed spread in these countries. Then there is also another prophecy of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, in which he states, I saw in a vision that I was standing on a pulpit in the city of London and was setting forth the truth of Islam in the English language in a very well-reasoned address. Thereafter, I caught several birds who were sitting upon small trees and were of white color, and their bodies resembled the bodies of partridges. And I interpreted this vision as meaning that though I would not be able to travel to that country, but my writings will be published among them and many righteous English people will be attracted by the truth. In fact, the connection of the Western countries with religious truths had so far been very rare. It is as if Allah gave knowledge of religion to the whole of Asia and secular knowledge to Europe and America. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further stated that the chain of prophethood also remained with Asia, as did the benefits of consummate sainthood. Now, God Almighty wants to encompass these people with His divine mercy. That is, Allah the Almighty wants to now manifest His divine mercy on the Western countries. Thus, this is the guidance, the desire, the prayer and the glad tiding of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. And today, in order to continue this task, the Ahmadiyya community in the UK, as well as the community around the world, including America and other Western countries, is striving to convey the true message of Islam. And the foundation of the Fazl Mosque was established in order to fulfill this very objective. And as I have mentioned, Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib first came to the Woking Mosque. But after the demise of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he did not pledge his allegiance, i.e. he did not do the Ba'th of Khilafat after that. And due to this, Chaudhry Fateh Muhammad Siyal Sahib, who was with him at the time, felt uneasy working alongside him. And so he separated himself from him and began to propagate the message of Islam Ahmadiyyat in another location. And by the grace of Allah the Almighty, he was met with success. Thus, we can say that Chaudhry Fateh Muhammad Siyal Sahib was the first to officially come here as a missionary of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, and the first fruit was received through him by the name of Mr. Koria, who was a journalist. He became a Muslim, and thereafter over a dozen people became Ahmadis. And the majority of Chaudhry Sahib's propagation, i.e. tabligh, was through lectures. In order to spread the message of Islam, he would go to various clubs and societies in different places and deliver speeches and lectures. Thereafter, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu recalled Chaudhry Fateh Muhammad Siyal Sahib to Qadian and sent Qazi Abdullah Sahib as a missionary in his place. He also worked here for some time, and Qazi Sahib was also a companion of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. It was very difficult to work here whilst the war had begun, and it was extremely difficult conditions to carry out the propagation when the First World War had commenced. Yet these people continued to convey the message. During the tenure of Qazi Sahib, in order to have a permanent place for the mission, a location on Star Street was rented. It is also recorded in history that during the time Qazi Sahib was here, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu also sent Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Sadiq Sahib as a missionary. He resided here from January 1917 to 1920. And in 1919, Chaudhry Fateh Muhammad Siyal Sahib was sent once again alongside Maulvi Abdul Rahim Sahib Nair, and both of them worked selflessly to propagate the message of Ahmadiyyat. In 1920, Chaudhry Fateh Muhammad Siyal Sahib was told by Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu to purchase some land in England on which a mosque and a mission house could be constructed so that work could begin there. And efforts were thus made for this purpose, and this place in Putney was bought for over £2,200. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in Dalhousie when he was informed of this. He held a big function there, and it was there that he named it the Fazl Mosque. Later, an appeal for donations was made so that as much as money possible could be gathered to build the mosque. Hazrat Chaudhry Fateh Muhammad Sialsai purchased this land from a Jewish person. And as we are aware, that the construction has now taken place on it. But at the time, it was a house and with approximately 1 acre land. Then history tells us how further progress was made with regards to this mosque and how it was constructed. During the 1924 Wembley Conference, some respectable people had the idea that in parallel with this global conference, various faiths should be exhibited. And keeping the Christian faith aside, which people of the West were well aware of, information about other faiths should be gathered. And after inviting the representatives to London, they should be given the chance to give lectures. And so for this task, they invited Maulvi Abdul Rahim Nayyar Sahib, the missionary at the time, to deliver a lecture on behalf of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. Maulana Nayyar Sahib conveyed this information to Qadian. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu approved it, stating that he would send some representatives who could present the beauties of Islam. And at the same time, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu started writing a treatise in which the beauties of Islam and the true teachings were mentioned. This eventually became a voluminous book, which he wrote for this lecture and is now published under the name Ahmadiyyat, or the True Islam. Thereafter, a consultation within the community was called, in which Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib and Hazrat Abdul Rahim Sahib Dard proposed that this is such an occasion in which Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself could attend along with a few members of the community, instead of a representative being sent. And so, the decision was made that Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu would come to England himself, and after visiting Damascus, Egypt, etc., he would reach Europe and bring some members with him. Among these members were Chaudhry Zafrullah Khan Sahib and Hazrat Mirza Sharif Ahmad Sahib. And both Hazrat Mirza Sharif Ahmad Sahib and Chaudhry Zafrullah Khan Sahib came at their own expense. Likewise, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu went at his own expense as well. In any case, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu reached England from Damascus and Egypt via Italy, Switzerland and France. He reached here on 22nd August 1924. What is interesting is that Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu had already seen a vision about his blessed arrival here. He had seen that he was getting off somewhere at the shores of England and placed his foot on a block of wood. And like a victorious general, he was looking in all four directions when a voice called out, William the Conqueror. Thus, it was as if the spiritual victory over England was destined with His Holiness's arrival in England, which has now been manifested. The newspapers extensively published Hazur's journey and arrival in England. Upon reaching there, Hazur arrived at London Victoria Station. He went from the seaport to Victoria Station. And from there, Hazur and his entourage arrived in front of the great St. Paul Cathedral, which is the largest church in England. And after this, while standing there, Hazur prayed to Allah the Almighty for the victory of Islam and the establishment of Tawheed by the oneness of God, and then he entered the city along with his entourage. An adequate arrangement had already been organized for his accommodation, which was a large house that had been rented. Speeches at various religious events, private meetings, public lectures, and also during this time, the news was received from Kabul regarding the stoning of Ni'matullah Khan Sahib Shaheed. And so all these incidents brought much attention to the Ahmadiyya community, and it was widely reported in many newspapers. Nonetheless, After these events, the time came for the laying of the foundation stone of the mosque. And by the grace of Allah the Almighty, this task was also accomplished in an outstanding and impactful manner. Regarding the mosque, it is mentioned in history that as soon as the preaching efforts in England had begun, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu already had the intention to build a mosque. Because the constant moving from one place to another in England severely inhibited the effectiveness of the preaching efforts. It was necessary to have a headquarters for the Jamaat because renting different houses and moving from place to place did not allow stability and therefore lessened the impact of the efforts. Nonetheless, this is why he desired that there should be a headquarters. However, this task seemed difficult to accomplish, and until 1919, no practical solution had been found for this. The collection of funds, finding land that is within London which would be sufficient and located in a respectable neighbourhood, and for it to be free from any legal conditions or restrictions, this was a major obstacle in purchasing buildings and pieces of land in London and then constructing a building as desired. These conditions needed to be fulfilled as well. Moreover, and most importantly, it was drawing people's attention towards its construction and management. Thus, these were all various hurdles in its path. But the Almighty fulfilled every need in the best manner and outcome. The first challenge was securing the funds, and it was resolved in this manner that after the war ended, there came a time when the value of the British pound began to drop. When the pound's value decreased significantly, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu was strongly inspired in his heart to take advantage of this opportunity, and he understood that this moment was valuable. And so on 6th January 1920, whilst he was returning after leading the Zuhr prayer, at that time some latecomers were offering their prayers inside the mosque, due to which the path was blocked, and so Hazur stopped there and sat down. And after sitting there, he instructed the Nazir Baitul Mal to immediately take 14 to 15,000 rupees in loan and send it to England. And since the exchange rate was declining, a significant amount of pounds could be acquired by exchanging rupees. When Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu returned home after this, and he finalized this plan, and likewise the Nazir Baitul Mal also wrote it down. However, when he finalized it, instead of sending 14 or 15,000 rupees, Hazur increased the amount to 30,000 rupees, and instead of writing loan, because first Hazur said a loan should be taken, he wrote the word chanda, i.e. financial donations. Hazur used to say that all of this happened by itself, and after writing this down, that same day Hazur handed it over to the Nazir Baitul Mal at Asr time, and then directed that people be gathered after Maghrib prayer for this purpose. There was little space in the Mubarak Mosque, and also there was very little time to make this announcement. Yet, despite this, 6,000 rupees were collected in response to Hazur's announcement. The next day, this scheme was announced to the women, and again that day at the Asr prayer, another appeal was made amongst the men in the Aqsa Mosque. And finally, on 9th January 1920, a formal announcement was made during the Friday sermon. And by the 10th or 12th January, 12,000 rupees had been collected in Chanda from Qadian alone. And this poor Jamaat of the people of Qadian sacrificed greatly in order to collect this Chanda. Hazur stated, it was not possible for such a poor Jamaat to make such great financial contributions without special divine help. And I believe that Allah the Almighty's special blessings were associated with making financial contributions at that time. He said that people's zeal and excitement was a sight to behold, and it can only truly be ascertained by those who saw it for themselves. Every man and woman was offering financial contributions whilst filled with a passion for sacrifice. A child, the son of a poor and hard-working man, said that I have saved 13.5 rupees. At that time, 13.5 rupees held some value, and with the currency rate having fallen, it would have been 1 or 1.5 pounds. In any case, he said that I have saved 13.5 rupees, which I am sending as financial contribution. Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu ta'ala says, I do not know what the boy's ambitions were for which he was saving that money. But not only did his passion for the faith lead him to sacrifice his money, but he also sacrificed his ambitions. In any case, more and more people continue taking part in this sacrifice. Then Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala also made an appeal to other areas such as Gurdaspur, Lahore and other places. And the thought was that the target of 30,000 rupees will be fulfilled by these three districts. Thereafter, Hazur stated that I was concerned that other Jamaats might complain, and so I expanded this and also increased the amount at 100,000 rupees so that more people may partake in the blessings. In fact, one person wrote to Hazur saying that pray that God Almighty grants me success in my business, and in exchange for this, I will cover the entire cost for building a mosque in England. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala said that I did not grant permission for this because I did not wish to deprive others of the opportunity. In any case, this amount started to be collected, and through the Bank of India, it was sent to England in the amount of £3,468. You can compare your conditions today with the circumstances of that time, and that amount totaled 52,000 rupees. This amount was gathered within a week, and the remaining amount was then sent later. Similarly, the value of the pound fell once again, which resulted in receiving a greater amount of pounds for less rupees, and the pound had dropped from 15 rupees to 6 rupees. In any case, as I mentioned earlier, the construction of laying of the foundation for this mosque commenced upon Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu's arrival here. And the foundation of the mosque was laid on Sunday, 19th October 1924. It is recorded in history that on 18th October 1924, the newspapers said that the weather on 19 October was forecasted to be pleasant and sunny. However, Allah the Almighty proved this forecast wrong, and in a clear sign of His existence, it rained that day right from the morning. This matter was presented before Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to which he stated, there is nothing to worry about. In fact, this is very good. Those who will attend the inauguration under such conditions will come out of sincerity. Now, there is also rain forecasted for tomorrow as well, so let us see whether this forecast proves true or not. But in any case, Hazur stated that those who attend will come out of sincerity, and God willing, this event will be successful. A small marquee was erected so that people could sit under it and easily attend the program. And also, invitation cards had been sent to various people. This included members of parliament, leaders, politicians, diplomats, and various other groups of people. Due to the short notice, it was thought that the attendance would be quite low. But despite this, there was a large number of guests who attended. There were representatives from various countries, and this event was successful in every respect. During the event, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood by the place where the foundation stone was to be laid, at which time Hazrat Hafiz Roshan Ali Sahib recited two chapters of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Layl and Surah Al-Ala. After that, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu delivered an address. He stated, we have assembled here today for a function which is unique in itself. It is to lay the foundation stone of a building erected to remember that being who is the creator of all, and to give expression to our feelings of devotion and worship of Him. Upon going there, we all become united, irrespective of the country or rule we hail from, or the language we speak. He further stated that when we stand in His presence, who is the center of all, we forget all distinctions of age, rank, color, east or west, because the closer one draws to that being, the differences diminish and the unity amongst us increases. He further stated, "So, we have assembled here today to lay the foundation of a building which is a sign of the unity and harmony. It assures us of the fact that our source and our place of return is the same, and that we should not fight with each other or create trouble merely owing to some differences amongst each other." Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala further stated, "There have always been differences in the world, and there is nothing wrong with that. In fact, it is a good thing, as the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has said, that differences are a sign of mercy and are not harmful. What is harmful is intolerance. For there to be differences that then lead to intolerance is what is harmful. In other words, when one's own desire transcends the bounds of unity, when everyone insists that their opinion should be agreed upon, it cannot be that there is only ever agreement and never any disagreement. In fact, differences are a sign of progress, and if this is adopted by man, then success becomes within reach." Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu then further stated that man should establish tolerance. People say that differences are a bad thing, but if there were no differences, then what significance would tolerance hold? Tolerance can only be exercised when there are differences. Tolerance can only be employed when there are differences in certain matters. It is then that one can exhibit tolerance and strive not to cause any sort of harm to anyone else. This is something which should always be borne in mind. He then further stated, "What the world needs is tolerance," meaning that people should live with love despite their differences in beliefs and principles. Certainly, everyone has the right to call others towards what they believe is good for them, because without spreading teachings, knowledge cannot advance. He further stated, "However, what no one has the right to do is attempt to change someone's speech or actions before changing their heart, or cause them harm simply due to differences in opinion. This is completely wrong." In other words, forcing someone to change their words or actions is unjust. In fact, the heart must change first. If force is applied, then this is wrong. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu then further stated, "A mosque is built to foster this spirit, and Islam has termed mosques as the house of Allah, meaning it is a house where no human has the right to expel anyone due to differences or cause them harm, where it is not their house but God's." However, the Pakistani mullah, i.e. the clergy, today believe that it is within their rights to do as they please, and Ahmadis have even been restricted from entering mosques. In any case, Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu further stated, "This is not the house of any person, but the house of God. The God of the enemy and their own is the same." In the Holy Quran, Allah says, that is, "And who is more unjust than he who prohibits people from worshipping in the house that has been established for Allah's worship?" This injustice is currently being committed today by the Pakistani clergy in the name of Islam. Nevertheless, Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated, "History proves that during the time of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, a delegation of Christians from Yemen came to meet him. And as they were conversing with him, the time for prayer arrived. And they asked permission from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to go outside to pray. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, 'There is no need to go outside for your prayers. Pray inside our mosque.' The Holy Quran's teachings and the practices of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, confirm that the doors of Islamic mosques are open to anyone who wishes to worship God, and Islamic mosques serve as a unifying point for people of different faiths. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu further stated, "It is with this very spirit and it is with these very sentiments that we, i.e. the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, have intended to build this mosque, and I am inaugurating it today. But before laying the foundation stone, I want to announce that a mosque is built solely for the worship of Allah the Almighty, so that His love may be established in the world, and that people may turn towards religion, for without it there can be no true peace or real progress." He further stated, "And we will never prevent anyone from worshipping in this mosque who wishes to worship God, provided they follow the rules established for its administration, and provided that they do not disturb the worship of those who have built this mosque to fulfill their religious needs." He further stated that, "I firmly believe that the spirit of tolerance that will arise from this mosque will help eliminate discord and establish peace, and soon that time will come when people will abandon war and strife and will live together in love and harmony. And the entire world will recognize that since all humanity is created by the same God, therefore they should live with even greater love and affection than brothers and sisters. And instead of hindering each other's progress, they should help one another advance. Just as a father dislikes his children fighting amongst themselves, likewise, God never likes that his creation be engaged in mutual conflict and warfare." Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu then further stated that many wars are caused by people becoming distant from God. This is why Allah the Almighty sent the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam, the founder of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. In other words, these wars arise from estrangement from God, and to unite everyone, Allah the Almighty sent the promised Messiah alayhi salam in this age, in order to draw people towards God and to remove their differences, fostering unity and love amongst them. Thus, by God's grace, the Ahmadiyya community will continue striving to eliminate all racial and political wars. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiyallahu ta'ala anhu then further stated that we hope that the virtuous people of different religions in every country will support us in these efforts to establish peace. He then further stated, "And indeed, the signs of this are already visible." Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu stated that there were different people present at the time, and the presence of honorable individuals from various nations shows that we are coming together. And even today, 100 years later, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, we see that many people of different nations and religions say that when they come to the platform of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, they all feel united. And as you visit the mosque, especially those who go to the Fazl Mosque for prayers, you will notice that Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiyallahu ta'ala anhu installed a plaque. And on this plaque it is written that I, Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad, Khalifatul Masih II, head of the Ahmadi community, which has its headquarters at Qadian, Punjab, India, lay the foundation stone of this mosque today, the 20th Rabiul Awal, 1343 Hijrah, to seek the pleasure of God, so that His name be glorified in England, and the people of this country may also partake of the blessings which have been vouchsafed to us. I pray to God that He may accept this humble and sincere effort of all the members of the Ahmadiyya community, both women and men, and that He may provide means for the growing prosperity of this mosque, and may He make it forever and ever a center for promulgating the views of purity, piety, justice, and love. And may this place prove a sun of spiritual light radiating forth in this country and in all the countries around the blessed beams of the heavenly light of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, the chosen one of God, and the seal of the prophets, and of Ahmed, the promised Messiah, the Prophet of God, the Vicegerent, and the reflection of Muhammad, may peace and blessings of God be upon them both. Ameen. 19th October 1924. This is the entire inscription which can be read there. And with Allah's grace and prayers, the foundation stone of this mosque was laid. And many newspapers published this news widely. And they published various extracts of Hazrat Musleh Maud radiallahu ta'ala anhu's speech and commended the work of the community. Some of the points that I've mentioned were just a summary of Hazrat Musleh Maud radiallahu ta'ala anhu's speech. There are further details, and those who wish to read the full account can do so. In any case, 2 years later, the mosque was completed and inaugurated in 1926. Prince Shah Faisal was supposed to inaugurate the mosque and was instructed to attend by his father. However, owing to the reaction of the Muslims, the king stopped him from going. And subsequently, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Sahib inaugurated the mosque, and he made it clear that he was not an Ahmadi, yet despite this, he said that we ought to serve Islam, and by putting our differences aside, we should assist one another for this cause. Nonetheless, it was owing to his courage and open-heartedness that he said this. May Allah the Almighty grant him reward for this. Thus, this was a brief history of the Fazl Mosque, and the very purpose of building this mosque was for the propagation of the message of Islam in the West. Thus, today, as I mentioned earlier, we are commemorating 100 years, but this celebration is not for any worldly purposes. Rather, I have explained from the sayings and the writings of Hazrat Musleh Maud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and also the writings of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam, that this mosque has been built so people can gather together to worship the one God and also fulfill the rights of each other and to improve spiritually and excel in adopting excellent morals. In this era, when people are abandoning God, the importance of the mosque increases even more than before. According to Allah the Almighty, the purpose of man's creation is to worship, and people are moving away from this. Therefore, today we should strive to fulfill the rites of worship in our surroundings, amongst our people, and our progenies. We must inform every one of them that one's true life and survival is if we worship Allah the Almighty and fulfill His rights as well as the rights of His creation. And also for us to follow His injunctions. Only then can we establish peace, tranquility and harmony in the world. And only then can we successfully ensure this world moves ahead in peace, tranquility and harmony, and we can live our lives. Otherwise, there is nothing aside from fighting and disorder, which we can see around us today. Thus, every Ahmadi ought to keep this purpose in mind. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that one should like for others what they like for themselves. Therefore, in light of this teaching, it is the duty of every Ahmadi to inform the world about the teachings of Islam, which is full of peace, love and affection. It is a message that contains peace and harmony, and we ought to inform the world and make them understand that this is the only guarantee of man's survival, and there is nothing else that can save future progenies from destruction and falling into the abyss of ruin. It is not a far-fetched notion that these wars will cause the future generations to be born with disabilities, be handicapped and suffer complications. Thus, it is necessary to warn people of this as well. May Allah the Almighty grant everyone the ability to fulfill the rights of the mosque and every other mosque. It should not only be this mosque, but every Ahmadi ought to ensure every mosque remains full with worshippers and that we strive to fulfill its due rights. And may we fulfill the rights due to our worship. And may we fulfill the rights of spreading the message of Allah the Almighty. And may we fulfill the rights of spreading the message of Islam. And may we become those true Muslims for which Allah the Almighty sent the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and in this era his true servant, so that the revival of Islam can begin and to establish the reign of Islam and the one God on earth, in order for the flag of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to be raised aloft.
Alhamdulillah, na'amadahu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'khiruhu wa na'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.